John chapter 13, starting at the 33rd verse. The Lord Jesus is in the upper room with his disciples. Now it's the 11. Judas has gone out, and the Lord speaks to his own. And he says this, "Little children, yet a little while I'm with you, yet you shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? And Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter saith unto him, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I'll lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto you, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions or abiding places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Father, bless your word, we pray. I ask, Lord, that it would be your Spirit that would be our teacher. Don't let me get in the way. We thank you for this little recording of this little bit of your heart and mind. And we'd ask that your Spirit would make it not just ink on paper, but make it living, lively, sharper than a two-edged sword, and tattoo it on our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. But there is one who can. And it's the one who made Humpty Dumpty. And he made you and me. The Lord Jesus Christ. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus is the one who can take scattered fragments of your life and put them back together again. If you're here and you're not a Christian, you're like Humpty Dumpty. And you may think that you're all okay. But if your life is not the life that Jesus wants it to be, you may get along for a little while, but in the end it will come home to roost on you. Jesus can change that. like the imposter that came last night. I've seen lots of people like that. They slip in and slip out on Sunday morning. They play the game well, And because I haven't submitted my improvement yet, they have no bulb on their head that tells you that their life is a mess. And you and I can't see past the front door. I told somebody here the other night, you know, you can listen to stories that Brian tells, the stories that I tell. And, you know, sometimes, the world you live in, those stories may seem pretty far-fetched. I wish I could hook you on my belt loop for about a month and see through my eyes the lives that some people live. Sometimes people who profess to be Christians and their lives behind the front door, that well-painted, well-coiffed front yard and house and little Bible verse tacked to the front of the door. But when you open the door and you go in the privacy of their world, you find a very unhappy place. It's not a place characterized by fullness of life and fullness of joy. And Jesus is the answer to that. Jesus is the answer to that. Even in good Christian lives, trouble and discouragement. My friend has a big button. It's about this big, and he wears it. And it says, "I'm allergic to negative people." Everybody has to catch themselves up on it from time to time. I'm kind of a news addict. And if you're a news addict, it's easy to get negative, you know. And so I have to catch myself at it sometimes. And sometimes I bring things that I see out there home, and it's easy to get negative. If you haven't heard it, critics are a dime a dozen, you know, and they don't build anything. They just discourage other people from building and tear down some of the things that other people have built. The meeting where I go fairly regularly, and Sarah may, and her husband may come for Christmas. And she's been there. She never met this fellow, but this meeting is a different culture from ours. It's on the west bank of the Mississippi River, downriver toward Jesuit Bend. He's a Frenchie and speaks very broken English. And when you add to that, he's got a speech impediment. It's a wild ride when you're around him. And they've decided that he's the greeter for their chapel. And so when you come in, he greets you at the door, and he says something like, and hands you a songbook. I have not a clue. I never had a clue what he said. But he said it with a smile, so I assumed it was okay. And every time we, if I'm lying, I'm dying. Is this true? Every time we went, there he would be. Thank you. Take my songbook and off we go. One Sunday we went down there, and I thought, you know, this is the critic, you know. This is the critic. I thought, come on, people. You're trying to build a church. Get somebody to greet people at the door that can at least speak English, you know? We're not downriver, we're upriver a little bit anyway. Come on, we're not living on a shanty boat. Come on. But every time we went, this sounds strange. I'll just, this is a parenthesis. Matt Phelan came down from Tennessee. Tennessee is a cultured place. The great state of Tennessee. Matt Phelan came down to see us one time. He stopped at the gas station at our exit. Big truck stop. Biggest truck stop in the South at one time. And a guy in a car, one pump over, hollers over to him, millimeter. And he thought. And he didn't answer, so the guy hollers over, millimeter. He tells me, I thought he was going to shoot me with a 9mm. After some coaxing, he found out he needed a lug wrench of so many millimeter. It was not that clear. Well, anyway, that was this fellow. And in my loftiness, I thought, come on, people, can't you find a better greeter than this? So we go down one Sunday, and here's a line of people standing outside the door. And I said, what's going on? Can anybody open the door? No, nobody's got a key. So we waited, I don't know, 10 minutes or something, while somebody ran and found a key, opened up the chapel, and air conditioning wasn't on. Songbooks hadn't been picked up from the previous week. Communion table wasn't set. He had died. I'll be back. He was the everything man. He got there early, opened up the chapel, picked up the songbooks from the week before, turned on the air conditioning, turned on the lights. He was the everything man. He wasn't doing it for me. He was doing it for the one who had saved him off the shanty boat downriver. And I thought, shame on you, Bob. Shame on you. You judgmental little tweak. Right. Things are not always as they appear, are they? Sometimes in a bad way, like the other night with our visitor. Sometimes in a good way. The Lord uses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Right? And the great thing, listen, the great thing about one of the many great things about a New Testament pattern church is there's something for everybody to do. And folks, I'd rather have them do it terrible, but do it, than to wait until they can do it perfect and in the process not ever do it. Right? There's been a man take his place. And you can hardly understand him either. He's over 60 years old, and 2 years ago he decided he was going to teach himself to play the piano. And he started like in the spring. At Christmas time, for their Christmas program, he said, Mr. Bob, I'm going to play the piano tonight for the Christmas program. I thought, oh boy. It was a little rough, but he played and he sang while he played. And I thought, very broken English. Right? I was impressed. And I thought, well, praise the Lord. You know, I can't do that. I can play the radio. You know? Well, this year he upped the ante. He said, Mr. Bob, guess what? I said, I don't know. I got no idea. You know? He says, I've learned the guitar. Really? I thought I was going to play the piano and the guitar at the same time. I don't know. And I don't, what, it, oh, he played Amazing Grace. And it was, he did it a little bit like a rap song. But he did it. And he played and sang Amazing Grace in front of the whole crowd. And I thought, you know, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So if you can, whatever you can, listen, get off your seats and on your feet and in the streets, right? Get up and do it. You may not be comfortable doing it. You may not even do it good, but do it, right? And there's no room for criticism. Don't be the in-house critic thinking, you know, surely they find somebody better than that, you know. The same guy, by the way, the same guy, the ferry broke loose. He's a deckhand on the ferry. The ferry broke loose one day, and there was nobody on board except him. And so he got himself up to the wheelhouse and figured out how to get the engine started and piloted the ferry boat back to the pier. I didn't even know this until later. And he was a hero. They gave him a medal from the parish there. he's the temporary captain. Anyway. Well, anyhow, here we are. We're up in the upper room. The disciples, the 11 that are left, and the Lord Jesus. And they're getting some new revelation here, and they're not very happy about it. They don't know how to deal with it. Now, I don't know if you ever in your life just experienced some discouraging news or some troubling news, things that you just don't know quite how to process. But I'll tell you this, the Lord Jesus triumphs over the troubled. And that's our topic. Right? Lord Jesus triumphs over the trouble. Verse 33 of the preceding chapter, he said, little children, I'm just going to be with you for a little while. Not long. And I'm going away. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Now, there's nothing new about that, right? That's Old Testament. There's nothing new about that. But see, he doesn't stop there. It's not just that you love one another. He says that you love one another as I have loved you. Now you've got a pattern, right? You didn't have that before. God sent his Son into this world to save us. But also, the Lord Jesus said, if you see me, you've seen the Father. You want to know what God is like? Look at the Lord Jesus. And you know, you and I have the benefit. We can look at him 24/7 right here, this picture book. Right? You want to know what God's love is like? Look at the Lord Jesus. You want to know how much God cares? Look at the Lord Jesus. You want to know how interested God is in your life? Look at the Lord Jesus. Anything you want to know about God, you could see in the Lord Jesus. Well, he's going away. How are people going to find out about God now? Right? This is a problem. It's part of the plan. It's part of the plan. Love one another as I have loved you. Well, he says, look, let's go back to 33. Where I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, in other words, this is why I'm telling you this, because I'm going away and you can't come. I'm going, you're staying. So now I say to you, I'm giving you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. Verse 35, by this, what is this? Huh? You kidding me? All right. Paul. Tiny, they call him. Lovingly. By this, by your love for one another, will all men know that you're my disciples. What's the next word? If, right? My Bible. I know. Get a red pencil, right? I have by this circled, and I have if circled, and then I have love underlined, right? I'm going away. You can't follow me. You're staying behind. I'm going to give you a new commandment that you love each other the same way I love you. I was the pattern. Now you're the product. You love each other the same way I love you. Brown, you little snit, don't you look down your nose at this little guy who opens the door. Right? Who do you think you are? Same price was paid for him as paid for you. Right? He might talk a little different. He might act a little different. He might dress a little different. And I'll tell you what, is this not true? Every time I go there, the first person that says hi to me is his replacement. And it might be from way across the auditorium.
Hey, Mr. Bob, hey, Mr. Bob, listen to what I can do. I learned the guitar. I'm going to play for the program tonight. I'm going to play Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace, how great thou art.
Amen. Fantastic. I wish I could do that. I can play the radio. That's it. People are watching. And they're watching to see what God is like by what they see in you and me and how we treat each other and our attitude towards each other. And if you work in an English-speaking foreign country, English optional, the darker the world, the brighter the light, right? And sometimes of course I don't, but you might think, I wish God didn't put me here. Surely he could come from a better place than this. Send me somewhere, you know, like Missouri or Tennessee, the great state of Tennessee. Bible Belt, you know, where English speaking isn't optional, right? most of the time. Well, anyway, by this will all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. If you work with little broken kids and little broken families, there's lots of definitions to love. Joanne and I did 2 inner city camps every summer for, I don't know, 15 years, 20 years, long time. 2 ladies, CEF, Child Evangelism Fellowship. There's no backyards in the inner city. So they did storefront clubs. And they'd rent a storefront. And if your little kiddos came to their storefront club after school, they'd get cookies and juice and games and a Bible story. And if you came a certain number of times, certain percentage through the year, they got churches to pay for them to go to camp. And they came and saw Mr. Bob and Miss Joanne at camp, at Horton Haven Christian Camp. About 90 of them. In 2 camps, 180, nearly 200 kids every summer. But when you come from the inner city, love has lots of different meanings to it. Right? Usually love means abuse. I want to love you, if you know what I mean. And it takes about half the week till Wednesday or so before they figure out that the kind of love you're talking about means I really love you, buddy. You're important to me. You're more important to me than me. And when they find that, pretty quickly they find Jesus. And we've seen numberless of these little kids come to Christ. One of them, they don't know what a swimming pool is. They might have a fire hydrant that sprinkles out when it cools off in the summertime. But most of the time, they don't know what a swimming pool is, and so we take them to the swimming pool. And this little guy, he saw all of his friends out there, and he thought they were standing in the pool, and it was about 10 feet deep. And so he just walked off the edge to go see his friends, and down he went. You know, I went over and pulled him out like a wet rat, you know. I said, you can't just go in there, you know, shallow down here, deep over there, you know. I don't know. What did I just do for you, Johnny? You saved me. See an opening there? Watch for openings, right? It's exactly true. You know, Jesus wants to do that with your soul and take you to heaven. Later, I think the same year, he got saved. He said, I love coming to camp. I said, why do you like coming to camp? He says, it's safe here. He sleeps on the floor next to his bed because at night people drive by and they just for the fun of it shoot bullets through the houses. And if you're on the bed, you're at a level where you die. And he said, nobody does that at camp. He came every year. We got him a scholarship to scholarship to Emmaus. He said, man, this is this is great, Mr. Bob. If you have love one for another, right? They're going to see Jesus in you. You may be the only Jesus they ever see. And the darker the world, the brighter the light. Our country is getting darker all the time. Well, we're on a little upswing right now, maybe. But it'll be back, right? It's the devil's world. Well, Peter, of course, he can't figure out what's going on. Thomas, he can't figure out what's going on. The Lord says to them, they're troubled, you know? They're troubled, and the Lord Jesus triumphs over troubled. Verse 1 of our chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Again, that we talked about the other night, that word for belief or faith, it's the same word, pistuo is the Greek word. It means to be convinced of something and hence able to put your trust and confidence in that person, place, or thing. You have confidence that that seat will hold you. Paul's a big boy. Paul's a big boy. He's a big boy. He came in here, he just plopped down on that chair like nothing. How could he do that? Well, I think he looked around, he saw everybody else sitting there comfortably. He figured, that chair's going to hold me. And he sat down, not a thought about it. If he came in here and half the chairs were collapsed on the floor and people were standing around the edges, he'd have said, want to take a seat? You know, I think I'll stand by the door over here. That's kind of how spiritual things are, too. People watch you and me. Are you really trusting Jesus? If you're really trusting, we've had, I think, four guys in our meeting that lost their, we went through a depression in the 80s because oil went under, then there's no need for crew boats, the boat building industry goes under. Boat building industry goes under, oil goes under, grocery stores go under. There was only one bank left in our town. Two-thirds of the stores were literally boarded up with plywood. It was a hard time. I had four guys that lost their jobs at various stages in this and were offered good jobs in somewhere else. And every one of them, I didn't say a thing. Every one of them turned down good jobs because they said, no, I'm needed in the assembly here. And they stayed. And guess what? Duh. God gave them a better job right there. How big is your God, right? How big is your God? On the other hand, I talked to a couple. They had inherited a home on the Gulf Coast in a pretty nice area, and they moved there. And every time I saw them, they said, oh, how we miss the meeting. I get tired of listening to it, you know? Finally, I said, you know, if you really missed the meeting, you wouldn't have moved. Well, you don't understand, you know, we had this free house. Hey, you reap what you sow, right? Now you got a free house and you got no meeting. Or some will say, well, I had to work, didn't I? No. You have to die. It's the only thing you got to do. You got to die. Do you think God can't get you work where you are? Or work where you're, you know. Listen, would God give you something that would take you away from being obedient to Him? Think, right? I don't think so. Now, doing that, He may leave you in South Louisiana. You'll spend your life twitching and trying to understand half French and stuff like that, but anyway. Don't let your heart be troubled. You don't have to worry about stuff. God is in control. He's behind the scenes. He's manipulating the world. And sometimes just for you. Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God? He's big. He's huge. My God is huge. Believe also in me. Trust in Him. Be convinced of Him and thus able to put your full confidence in Him for everything. Right? Can you trust Him to get you to heaven, but you can't trust Him to bring you a few shekels on payday? Right? Well, how's He going to do that, Bob? I don't know. I don't have a clue. But I know you trust Him. He'll do it. Because I've experienced it. Right? We didn't know. I would come home when we went into the Lord's work. I would come home. Shh. Keep your mouth shut. I would come home and there'd be a pile of bills on the table and my wife sitting at the kitchen table crying. And I'd say, "Don't worry, honey. The Lord's going to take care of this." I know, but how's He going to do that? Look at this. Look at this. Never missed one. Never missed one. I bought some puppets once. Dwayne Brown called me late at night. He's my brother in the Lord. My evil brother. He said, "Bob," he came through one night on a rainy night in his pickup truck. I had never met him. I knew nothing about him. He came through in his pickup truck in a midweek meeting night, and he said, "Would you like me to do puppets?" I don't know. There's five of us. "That's okay. I'll do puppets." He got a little stage about this big. He was younger then. He'd get down behind the stage, do the puppets to a recorded thing. He'd get up and he'd preach. Down, do puppets, get up and preach. And I thought, that's pretty neat. Not something I would want to do, but pretty neat. So I get this call about 10 o'clock at night, and it's Dwayne Brown. He said, "Bob," he said, "I know how much you like those puppets." And he said, "They got a whale of a sale on. You'll never see a sale like this in your life again." This is true. This is true. He said, "If you're going to get them, you've got to get them right now." This is the people who make the Muppets, right? Sesame Street, Muppets. Same company makes those. And a whale of a deal. You got it, and it runs out the end of the month. And it's like the 20th now. Okay, I'm going to send, no, it's earlier than that, it's maybe the 10th. I'm going to send you the catalog, I'll mark everything you need. Okay, he said, "Just order it. You look at it, put it in the mail. Get it in there before that date, you'll get it really cheap." Okay. A couple days, here it comes. Everything marked. I thought, what am I going to do with all these puppets? I don't even like puppets. Right. And the clock. So I prayed, "Lord, you know, this is really stupid. But if you want me to get these puppets, just, you know, keep the thought there. If not, take it away." Okay. Every day, thinking about these stupid puppets. True. Thinking about these stupid puppets. So at the last minute, I thought, well, I asked the Lord to take it away. If He didn't take it away, send it off my credit card. Don't have the money for this, Lord. Puppets are really expensive. I won't tell you, my wife still does not know how much the puppets were. But they were really, really expensive. And so off it goes. A couple weeks later, I come home from running around. Here's this big box at my front door. I thought, yeah, I'd forgotten. Here's this box. So I pulled out my knife. Little boys in this country can still carry pocket knives. In South Louisiana, anyway. Without going to jail. Pull out my little pocket knife. I open this thing and boop! Little faces popped up. This whole little orchestra of little faces popped up like my adopted kids had just showed up on the doorstep. I thought, oh, now, how am I going to explain this to my wife? They're here. And like another 2 weeks and my bill will come on my credit card. And she'll see it. And I'm going to be in trouble again. So, the bill is getting closer and it's getting closer. It's down to the last week, and I'm trying to figure out ways I can explain this to my wife. And I go out to get the mail one day, and here's in the mail a check from someone that I don't know who they were. I have no idea. Maybe it's somebody here. I didn't know them. I'd never heard of them. I've never heard of them since. And it was a check for the whole amount of the puppets, less $5. And I thought, would have been a better story if I could say it was exact, right? But I'm thankful. The puppets now are going to only cost $5, see? The next day. True story. The next day, a check comes from somebody else that I've never heard of before or since for $5. $5. And the Lord's just saying, you believe in God? Don't you believe in me? You can trust me. You can trust me. We didn't know if we were going to starve to death. It's now 40 years later, 85 to 17, 40-something years later, you can tell I haven't missed a lot of meals, right? I'm reasonably healthy. The bills are paid. My wife is still in love with me. Can't you, if you can trust God, can't you trust me, he says. I go to prepare a place for you. And in my Father's house are many mansions, many abiding places. I'm going to go make a place for you. And if I go, I'm going to come again to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where you go, where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas says, we don't know that. How can we know that? And can you see the Lord Jesus saying, come on, guys, come on. I'm the way. Come on, don't you know? I'm the way. And I'm telling you the truth. And it's the way to life, right? He's coming back. He's coming back. When is he coming back? I don't know. But he's coming back. When we come tonight, I'll show you two little quick videos that I think will emphasize the point to you. But we need to live our lives every day. I hope you never have a story like Brian's story of a missed opportunity. I hope you never have a story like my story with Jimmy Byrne. He came to me and asked to hear the gospel. And I just said, I'd love to tell you that, Jimmy, but I'm running to the post office. And I'll talk to you as soon as I get back. And you know how that goes after the post office. There's groceries and there's this and there's that. And Jimmy Byrne died. And I never talked to him. We don't know when the Lord's coming. For us, or for our neighbor, or in the air. Or in the air. And all of a sudden there'll be the trump and the shout. And the dead in Christ will rise first. And we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with him in the air. And so shall we ever be with him in the air. Like that. You won't have time to blink your eye. As in the twinkling of an eye. Somebody's calculated that, but it's quicker than a blink. It's the twinkling of an eye. That quick, he'll come. And if you're not saved, you'll be sitting here and the rest of us will be gone. And it'll be too late. Too late. Don't be like the man who came last night, looking pretty, but a mess on the inside. If you're really saved, he saves you clean through and through. If you're putting on a face on Sunday morning and living a mess the rest of the time, get it straight. Get it straight. Today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. That quick. And we'll be gone. It takes no longer than that for your heart to stop. And you're in eternity. Right? Father, bless your word. Thank you for it. For this one who is the way. And it's absolutely the truth that leads to life. Father, we're thankful for it. We're thankful for this incredible book. God bless the word brought out of this book. Father, thank you for each other. Thank you for this time at camp this week. Lord, bless your word as it goes out in so many different ways. The chalk talks that are going on, the teen classes, the little classes for the little ones, the storyboards that I saw set up down in the men's prayer room, tracts, every different method, little conversations at the swimming pool, conversations over ice cream, and conversations at the pool, all the different ways for people to see the love that we have one for another. And by this will all men know that we're your disciples and that we've found the answer. And it's all in him. So it's in his name that we pray, Father. Amen.